Chapter 34 Admiral Pelion stood on the Chimera's bridge, his hands clasped behind his back. He stared at the hologram of his New Republic counterpart. "Yes, Admiral Crife, I agree that we got away better than I expected in all this. The Jedi truce is longer than I had hoped."
"I agree, Admiral, and we are putting the time to good use."
The Bothan paced slowly, the holocam panning to keep him in the center of the image.
"The modification we made to our gunnery seemed very effective, and took two of their smaller ships down quickly. I'm not certain how they will respond in the future, but by switching tactics in a battle, we can take advantage of their weaknesses. I have Fleet Tax working on the modifications now."
"As do I," Pelion replied. "You expect the Yuuzhan Vong will not live up to this agreement if their fighter loses?"
"That, or my cousin will urge an immediate and full strike if Horn dies. This bargain has not proved popular here."
Crife scratched at his snowy throat.
"Regardless, we know we will face the Yuuzhan Vong again. I have some new ideas, the files on which I am transmitting to you now. I have a ship in reserve to help us, if you think we should proceed."
"I'll review the files and let you know." Pelion gave his New Republic counterpart a nod. "Do wish Horn the best for me. Were I 40 years younger, I would offer to take his place."
"He will appreciate hearing that, sir."
The Bothan flashed fangs in a smile.
"I don't think there's a person in the fleet that wouldn't say the same thing. Well, maybe one. But there is always an exception to the rule."
Corrin slowly screwed the butt cap onto his freshly recharged lightsaber.
"So, Chief Failure, I'm getting the impression you don't approve of my having made this deal with the Vong leader. For the 427th time, in fact."
The Bothan stabbed a clawed finger at him.
"And I'll make the point 1,000 times more if I need to. You had no right, no authority to usurp the New Republic's prerogative to make war with your stupid duel. I will make that point until you understand it and recant this bargain."
The Jedi's green eyes hardened.
"Perhaps you need to understand something. I don't give a bucket of hot spit for what you think. I would remind you that because of your unwillingness to sanction the Jedi, I was recalled into the New Republic military. I made that deal under that authority."
"You were not the ranking officer on the ground."
"Actually, I was. General Dendo was wounded."
"But you didn't know that."
Corrin gave him a toothy grin.
"You telling me I couldn't have felt it through the Force?"
That brought the Bothan up short, but earned Corrin a frown from the third person in the crowded cabin, Luke Skywalker. "Corrin, now is not the time to play such games with Chief Failia."
"You are correct, Master. No time for games at all."
The Corellian Jedi glanced down at the lightsaber in his hand.
"Chief Failia, you've forgotten our history. Over a decade and a half ago, you forbade me to do something. I resigned from the New Republic military, as did the rest of Rogue Squadron, and we accomplished our goal anyway. So consider this my resignation from the military again. Your authority over me ends now."
Failia blinked his violet eyes, then glanced at Luke.
"Master Skywalker, order him to leave off from this duel."
"No." The Bothan's eyes became amethyst slits.
"The Jedi sanction this duel?"
Luke stared back. "A week from now, I'm going down to Ithor to act as Corrin's second."
"So then, the Jedi claim the right to determine Ithor's fate."
The sly tone in Failia's words sent a spark of anger through Corrin.
"He's right, Master. The Jedi can't be caught in that trap. I quit being a Jedi, too. You can't.
Okay, fire me.
Corrin frowned.
There are parts of the Jedi Code I don't buy into. And these robes chafe. There's insubordination for you. Ditch me. This is one trench run you don't need to make.
The Jedi Master slowly shook his head. What you do not understand, Chief Failia, is that Corrin has acted to preserve life. Even if he falls, he is but one life lost against all those we are evacuating. One family will weep, not many. And when he wins, Ithor will be safe, and the Yuuzhan Vong will know this invasion will not be without gross cost to them. Corrin's flesh tightened as Luke spoke. Looking at Borsk Failia, it became apparent that while the Bothan heard the words, their true meanings never penetrated his brain. He's off figuring how he will spin this, win or lose, to his advantage. Corrin flipped his lightsaber around and offered the dark end to the Failia.
Here, take it. Go down and fight him yourself.
No, I couldn't.
I know that, Chief, and not because I think you're a coward.
Corrin shook his head slowly, then reversed the blade, leaving his thumb poised over the ignition button.
This fight isn't your fight. It's mine. I'm suited to it, and since losing is not something I can do, I won't.
The Bothan half snarled at him.
If you fail, you will join Thrawn and Vader in the minds of the people.
If I lose, Chief Failia, Ithor will be forgotten in the bloodbath that follows.
Corrin purged himself of anger and set his face in a calm mask.
It is to prevent just that, which brings me to fight Shaddao Shai. The preservation of life and freedom are the only reasons ever to fight. In their cause, I will win.
Anakin shrugged his mother's hands off his shoulders as he stared through the medical bay's viewport. In the wardroom, covered with a white sheet to her throat, Desharakor lay on a bed, barely moving. He could tell she was still breathing, but her breaths came shallow and hurried. Leia spoke in a soft voice.
You don't have to go in there.
I don't want to, but I must.
Anakin sniffed and nodded to his mother.
She asked for me. I have to. Do you want me to go with you?
He swallowed hard against the lump choking him.
No, I can do this. I'll wait here. Thank you.
Anakin brushed away a tear and entered the medical bay. Droids busied themselves with other patients. He moved over to the left side of the bed and rested his hand on Desharakor's hidden wrist. She started for a second, then opened her eyes. Her surprised expression changed into one of happiness, though it lingered for only a second or two. Weariness washed from her, and Anakin could feel the spark of her life dimming.
Anakin. Hi. How are you?
Anakin squeezed his eyes shut for a moment.
Stupid, stupid.
Desharakor slipped her left hand from beneath his grip and the sheet, then brushed a tear from his cheek.
It's okay. The venom.
Anakin sniffed.
Corrin was bitten. They saved him. Human chemistry. Different from a Twi'lek's.
She lowered her hand and grabbed his, squeezing as hard as she could, which felt terribly weak to him.
There is nothing they can do. I'm dying.
No! Not fair! You can't!
Anakin snarled as hot tears splashed down his cheeks.
Not you! Not like...
Chewbacca?
Anakin's knees buckled, and he started to go down, but found a chair beneath his butt. He covered his face with his hands and felt Desharakor stroking his hair.
I made a mistake, and he died. I made a mistake, and you are dying.
There is no death. There is only the Force.
He looked up through tear-blurred eyes.
It still hurts.
I know.
She managed a weak smile.
Anakin, you have to know, even though I am dying, I would not change things. Neither would Chewbacca.
How can you say...
She stroked his cheek, her fingers feeling cold against his skin.
He died. I die. In service to life. You saved me from the darkness. I saved you. Not in recompense, but so you can continue serving life. The Force.
He reached up and covered her hand with his.
I will never be as good a servant as you or Chewie.
Desharakor smiled again, maintaining it though the corners of her mouth quivered.
You already are, Anakin, and will be greater. As you heal, you will be stronger than anyone can imagine. We are proud of you. So proud.
Her voice faded, along with her smile, as life drained from her. Anakin pressed her hand harder against his face, but found her touch fleeting and faint. As he watched, she became lighter, then translucent, and finally disappeared as the sheet that had covered her collapsed.